Discoveries and developments in science and engineering continue to march forward. So here are 10 interesting scientific discoveries for December of 2023. Number 10. Getting closer to artificial life. When we think of life, we tend to think of genomes and species in the natural sense. We might also envision alien life that also might work on genetics, but otherwise be unrelated to Earth life. We can also do things like modify genetics in crops as GMOs, but those fundamentally remain relatively simple modifications to a few genes. But there's always been the idea that an artificial life form might accidentally pop out of a test tube in a laboratory looking into the abiogenesis of life. And recent work with artificial genomes in viruses and bacteria have been successful, but now we're moving into territory where it could prove very useful. Scientists have created the genetics for a strain of yeast that features 8 of its 16 chromosomes that are artificial. Yeast is complex, it's eukaryotic, as opposed to bacteria, and it's going to take a year or more to actually create the actual strain. The problem with artificial genetics is that it's extremely complex, and researchers often run into bits and pieces that they think should have no effect on the eventual outcome, but end up affecting it, which is especially a problem for complex eukaryotic cells, because they carry a lot of junk DNA. By removing that, and streamlining the genome, scientists hope to get past that and gain the ability to create optimized, customized agricultural crops, or in this case, yeast. This is actually so advanced that one of the chromosomes involved features genes aligned all in one direction, which does not occur in nature, at least on Earth. This shows promise, as all work of this type does, in improving human food production. At the same time, however, there are concerns, ones that proved valid with GMO corn, which has escaped due to corn being wind-pollinated, and now appears in the genetics of heirloom corn varieties, that artificial organisms could escape into the environment. The way to fix this is with a genetic kill switch. In the case of this yeast, it's incapable of outcompeting natural yeasts. But with so little known and so many variables, it may later prove a problem, if that proves wrong. A brave new world, indeed. Number 9. Mapping all molecules with AI. Molecules can be unbelievably complex things, so much so that not all possible variations are known, and chemists find new ones all the time. But one area where AI may prove to be better than humans are, very quickly, is in mapping new molecules, which could have profound effects on materials sciences and pharmaceuticals. The idea is that molecules can be variants of each other, very similar but not quite. Mapping them would allow for things like having a catalyst with a toxic component to be replaced or edited with the help of another molecule that has a less toxic component. We seem to be at that stage now with AI. So long as you ask it the right questions, it may be able to provide the right answers in discovering new molecules, and do it in hours or days instead of decades, as has been the case. There have already been breakthroughs with AI in predicting protein folds, an unbelievably complex affair. But predicting all possible molecules will be an even bigger undertaking that probably would not be possible for humans, at least for centuries without it. Even with just a single drug compound, you can have as much as 10 to the 60th variations. Number 8. The oldest DNA ever recovered. DNA is delicate and usually doesn't survive long after the death of whatever creature bore it. Scenarios like Jurassic Park depict the extraction of DNA from mosquitoes preserved in amber to retrieve dinosaur DNA, but this is not likely in practice. The ancient DNA simply falls apart over time, no matter how good the preservation superficially is, and it's not too likely that we're going to ever find 65 million or more years old DNA. But in rare circumstances, younger DNA, though still ancient, can be preserved. In 2021, 1 million-year-old DNA was recovered, but now, DNA found recently in sediments in Greenland have pushed that back to 2 million years. Greenland at that time was a forest realm rather than an Arctic desert, but it becoming an Arctic desert helped preserve the ancient DNA, which comprises a number of species which researchers are using to reconstruct the flora and fauna of Greenland at the time. The DNA does not derive from fossils, but rather adhering to minerals in the sediment layer they came from. The species found are mostly plants, many of them still around but no longer in Greenland, but they did find DNA of Arctic hares, some sort of rodent related to a lemming, geese, reindeer, and muskrats, and even an extinct member of the elephant family that might be a mastodon species, but not a mammoth. This opens up a weird scenario, however. So if DNA strands can bind to minerals and preserve in cold environments like Greenland, then what of Antarctica? It's been a cold, icy desert far longer than Greenland, but once hosted much older ecosystems, and even dinosaurs, when it was in a very different, warmer position on the planet. Maybe instead of amber, the scientists of Jurassic Park should have been looking at Antarctica. Number 7. Phosphorus at Enceladus. The ice shell moon Enceladus remains one of the best chances in the solar system to host life in its subsurface ocean. Steadily over the last few years, the elements used by life have been identified in its makeup, including carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and sulfur. There was one missing until now, phosphorus. Phosphorus in the universe is problematic. Unlike other elements necessary for life, it's been shown that phosphorus may be distributed in a spotty manner. And entire swaths of the Milky Way may as a result be too phosphorus poor to support life. In the case of this solar system, we have a lot of it, but until now it hadn't been measured at Enceladus. Phosphorus is even tricky here on Earth, in that we have it at Earth's surface, but a lot of it is locked away in minerals, and a localized lack of it tends to dictate what places life on Earth can sustain. The phosphorus was found in the Cassini measurements of Saturn's E-ring, which is generated by Enceladus' plumes. They found it to be rich in sodium phosphate, so much so that Enceladus' oceans, where the plumes originate, have a 1,000 times higher greater concentration of phosphorus than Earth's oceans have. This phosphate probably originates in minerals on Enceladus' ocean floor and dissolves into the water. So plenty of free phosphorus at this moon for life to take advantage of. The problem is that the concentrations are so high that if there were life there, it should be getting more efficiently locked up in biology, suggesting that there may be no life there, or it's life that very slowly metabolizes phosphorus. Number 6. The spin of Earth's core is slowing. Earth's core is mysterious. We know it's solid, forced that way by pressure, surrounded by a molten outer core, the mantle, and the crust. We also know the inner core is rotating. In 2009, measurements determined that the inner core was rotating slightly faster than the mantle. New measurements, however, have shown that it no longer is. Its rotation has slowed. Past periods showed that the inner core was rotating unusually rapidly between 2001 and 2003, and again in the 1970s it was different, indicating an oscillation that might be part of a 60-year cycle. This is probably caused by interactions between the mantle and the core. None of them are perfectly spherical, which means they gravitationally tug everything around unevenly. This may explain why Earth's rotation itself can vary, and may also indicate that the Earth's magnetic field is about to undergo a reversal, and may even result in a change in direction that the inner core is spinning. This would have little effect on the surface, however. The changes of a reversal would actually produce a very small effect on Earth's magnetic field, not a huge one, along with an effect on the length of the day by a tenth of a millisecond per year. Number 5. The smaller sun. Historically, how you measure the size of the sun is by looking at the photosphere, the part emitting the light. One major modern way to do this is through observations done during total solar eclipses, but there are other ways. For example, by studying the sound waves rippling across the sun's surface, you can derive it. These are called F waves. The problem is a third way of measuring it, by modeling the sun's interior, actually predicts a slightly smaller number, so it was clear that there was something we were unaware of going on. But F waves aren't the only sound waves the sun produces. In its interior, there are also P waves, created by the movement of material inside the star. These waves can actually pass through the sun's core, and strangely enough, the measurements actually support the models instead of the F-wave data. The sun appears to be slightly smaller than we thought, but slightly is a key word. It's off by only a few hundredths of a percent, but it may lead to more precise insights on the interior workings of the sun. Number 4. Electrolocation as a sense versus electrocommunication. We think of the senses in how we as humans perceive them, but we've long known that there are other phenomena in the animal kingdom that may represent entirely different senses. One of these is electrolocation, which is a common ability for some fish, with weakly electric fish generating their own tiny electric field that allows them to sense local changes within it. This is helpful in navigating dark conditions, hunting, and many other applications. One species, however, was a bit of a mystery. The brown ghost knifefish lives in the Amazon River Basin and produces a constant electric field at one frequency. Occasionally, however, especially in the presence of another of the species, they will chirp. This was always thought to be a form of animal communication, to attract mates or drive off rivals. But it turns out it may not be. Researchers have found that by changing the fish's surroundings in general, more chirps result. And reproducing chirps, played back, produced no reaction from the fish, suggesting that the fish are merely electrolocating each other with no role in communication. Number 3. A new look at harnessing the heat energy of the oceans. In 1881, physicist Jacques-Arsène d'Arsonval proposed a method of exploiting the temperature differences inherent in Earth's oceans for power generation. Known as OTEC, or Ocean Thermal Energy Conversion, experiments with this technology met some success, but also failures, but was ultimately overshadowed by the exploitation of inexpensive fossil fuel technologies, and to a degree, nuclear. But interest in this very early system of power generation has renewed, especially for use by island nations. Essentially, what happens is you use surface water warmed by the sun to heat ammonia or water, which spins a turbine producing electricity. Deeper, colder water is then piped from the deep to cool the fluid and start the cycle over. There is enormous power potential here. We could power the entire Earth with this technique in principle, without altering the ocean's currents. There are already small plants of this nature operating in Hawaii and Japan, and with better technology than what was available in the past, it may be viable on a greater scale now. But where this may become viable very quickly is with islands. Generally speaking, energy is expensive on tropical islands, which tend to rely on diesel generators and other means that keep costs up. OTEC promises a much more environmentally sound and inexpensive alternative to island nations. One hurdle has been constructing the extensive deep water pipes needed, but alternatives to this are being looked at. Number 2. The 1800 light-year distant planetary collision. In 2021, the star Assassin 21QI dimmed by 95% very rapidly. It became evident on further study that the star had spent the previous 2 years brightening before dramatically dipping. This was a mystery until recently when a model was presented that seems to account for everything that was observed, but represents a cataclysm like nothing ever seen before in astronomy. The likely culprit was the collision of two Neptune-sized worlds in orbit of the star. As they smashed together, it released an enormous mass of vaporized rock, ultimately stretching about 7 times the diameter of our sun. There would have been a white, superhot remnant remaining, eventually forming a torus of material. But this particular one seems to have been significantly less hot than it would have been had it been from the collision of terrestrial planets. Rather, this seems to have been more like water vapor-rich ice giants like Uranus and Neptune. Now, over time, the material will condense into a new planet. The system, centered around a sun-like star, is thought to be about 300 million years old, so a planetary collision in this system might seem less likely that late. However, it may simply have been some kind of perturbation by a passing star or another planet in the system that put them on a collision course. Number 1. The resonant fossil planets. While star systems, through the luck of the draw, can be violent places that see entire planets crash into each other, it can also go the complete opposite. HD 110067 is one such star system. This one, in some ways, is a fossil star system that remains unchanged from its earliest days billions of years ago. A recent discovery made with a test spacecraft, within this system are 6 gas giants, which is unusual on its own, which in the data showed up as transits. As the orbital periods of these worlds were worked out, it became clear that these worlds were orbiting in an unusually stable resonance with each other, suggesting that this system has never seen any cataclysmic events, or wandering planets to set different resonances, rather it preserves the original resonance that its worlds fell into not long after the formation of the system. This opens the way for gleaning new clues about star system formation. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Gaudier, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.